Harvey and I talking about the Lord the other night. Okay, so Harvey and I got a little carried away. We're both just like, don't you get just tired of the everyday, the normal, the, we just want 24/7 to be walking with Jesus, just more and more and more, Lord, full time, just be with him all the time, be right where he's at, live in his presence, stop stepping out of it, you know, stop messing up on being, it's like tub glaze all day long and dishes and shopping and other stuff going on and you're going, we just want to overload on Jesus, you know? And then what do? After we get hungry like that, what do we think? Maybe if I read my Bible more. Maybe if I read 2 hours every day. Well, how about if I fast? I'll just lock myself in a room and fast until he comes. Or maybe if we start trying to figure out what we can do to get him to come more, like maybe we need to change. We need to try harder. And that's when I came to Romans 9, 31 through 33. This is kind of what Israel was doing. The religious people in Israel, they were trying harder. They were trying to do everything they found in Scripture. Keep the Ten Commandments, keep all the rules, pay tithe, help the poor, do everything that the Bible told them to do, that the Scriptures told them to do. And then add some to that. Maybe if we dress different, we won't even wear clothes like others do. We'll dress different. We'll make sure everybody knows we belong to God. We'll look different than the world. We won't, today it would mean, I won't watch any TV. I won't go have any amusement parks. I'm just gonna, you know, there's religious people that wear all black clothing up to their neck and down to the floor, extreme modesty, and they don't wear any makeup. And I mean, it's extreme. Let me prove to God that I'm going to do everything I can to get God's attention and please him. And this is what they were doing in Romans 9, 31 to 33. It says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumble at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him, on Jesus, shall not be ashamed. It brought it right down to that relationship with Christ. That's what he wants. So when I can be very dramatic and extreme. God knows I get that way. So when I'm thinking that the other day, I'm going, I'm just not satisfied. I'm just going to go on a long fast and tell God, I'm not eating again until you do something big in my life, you know. I want more. And he takes me to this verse. Did I tell you to do that? Are you moving by faith? Because what is faith? What is grace? It's the divine influence of God upon your mind, your heart, and then how that comes out through your life, what it happens and changes in you and toward others. Faith is moving at the sound of what Jesus said. It's following what he's doing. It is not you trying harder to earn him, to get him. That just doesn't work. They did all that, the laws of righteousness, and it did them no good. They didn't attain righteousness. Because it's not based on what you do. It's based on love. Amen. It's based on the love of God. It's based on the relationship with Christ. So we can't earn his favor. All of the good deeds, all the religiousness, it's not going to help us at all. So we do have to die, though. We have to die not only to evil acts of sin, we have to die to all the good deeds that we try to do to make us feel better. We basically need just to depend on him and walk with him. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall man give in exchange for his soul? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I kind of rushed through theirs, but I want to explain something there to you. I used to read that. We have to die. We have to crucify our flesh. Crucify my flesh. When I want to touch something, no, you can't touch it. I want to do something, no, you can't do it. Crucify, kill my flesh. That's not what it means. That is not what it means. You can't. You cannot kill your flesh. Paul said so when he said, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? We can't control sin. We can't control flesh. What Jesus, immediately after he said, you need to crucify yourself, you need to take up your cross and deny yourself, immediately what he said after that was that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith, believing what Jesus says and doing it, is empowered. When he tells you to do something, he gives you the power to do that. So if he came along to me, and he has in the past, and he said, I want you to stop eating. I want you to do a fast for this many days. I don't like it. I don't want to. I can't. I really can't. I have no willpower. I only succeed when he tells me something and I obey it, because then he becomes the willpower. When I try to do it, I can't. I just keep getting defeated. So when he says, I want you to fast, and I go, okay, I can't do it, but you said to do it, so I'm going to begin the fast. Grace kicks in. His power kicks in. His thinking kicks in. His will takes over. I do it, and I know that he's doing it in me. We live by the faith. We crucify ourselves by saying no when he tells us to say no. When we know it's what he wants us to say no. And we're saying no because of him, not because we can. Walking in faith with him based on what he wants us to do. So last week when I wanted to go on a fast and I wanted to just don't watch any TV for days and I wanted to just show God how desperately I want him. And he says, I didn't ask you to do that. I know, but I want more. And he said, you're where you are. You have what you have. And you do what I ask you to do. Even if you don't like where you are and you don't feel like it's enough. Sometimes it's survival mode. I can't survive. I can't do survival mode either unless he's putting me in survival mode and sustaining me there. So wherever we're at, whether it's boredom, whether it's hard work, whether it's a separation time and everything is glory and fun and miracles, whatever it is, living by faith, not just telling yourself no or trying to make your life miserable to crucify yourself. It won't work. It just won't work. And it wouldn't please him. Either you can't do it or you will do it. And if you do it, you'll be real proud of yourself. You'll go, wow, I do everything for God. I really please him. You're not walking with him if you've got that kind of thinking. You're walking in pride. You know, all the law, you don't have to look it up, but Galatians 5:14 says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. All the law is met. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor and love yourself. All the law is fulfilled in love. So if you keep all the rules, but without love, you're failing. But if you love, you're succeeding. It's all met through love. First thing we have to realize in order to really walk totally dependent upon Christ, and that's the life of power, but to live that life dependent on him, we have to realize that we're crippled. We're crippled by sin. We're crippled by flesh. We're crippled by pride. We're crippled. We are crippled. And we can't walk in sin. We can't walk in pride. We can't walk in our own desires and will. But if we realize we're crippled, Christ can become our wheelchair. And we can go everywhere because he's got a powerful wheelchair. I mean, it's not one of these somebody's got to push you around kind of wheelchairs. It's one of these with all the power buttons, you know. He is a good wheelchair. The illustration he gave me on that, you know, like if you woke up in the morning and you found that you were literally crippled, your legs were paralyzed, you could not walk. You know, we get so mad at ourselves because we sin. We are a sinner. Fruit tree grows, apple tree grows an apple, and a sinner sins. We get mad if we have sinful thoughts. I wake up every day saying, I'm in a survival mode right myself right now because I'm going through some grief. But I'm in a survival mode. So when I get up in the morning, I'm not my normal, oh, can't wait to get up and go study. I'm more like, do I have to get up again? Do I have to go through this again? I don't even want to pray. I don't want to study. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do today, you know? And I get out of the bed because I know I need to get out of the bed. I still get out of it at 5 or 5:30 because that's when I have time with God before the world rushes in on me. So I get up, and all the way to the bathroom, I'm saying, Jesus, here I am, full of wrong thoughts, bad thoughts, and I can't help it because I'm just a sinner. But here I am, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to get my Bible open, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to put it all in your hands, because if I make it through this day, it's going to be you. Because otherwise, I could go back to bed and stay there all day. So if this crippled man woke up and he's realized the doctor has told him your legs are paralyzed, they're never going to work again, you are a cripple, do you think he wakes up every morning and says, why am I a cripple again today? I thought I could do better today. I am so mad that I'm a cripple. I don't want to be a cripple. I don't think I should have to be a cripple. I'm mad at me for being crippled. No. He's learned there's nothing he can do about it. He's helpless to change his condition. He doesn't get out of bed and say, if I try really hard, maybe I can take a step. If I really pushed myself, I could walk. Why don't I, so ashamed of myself that I'm not trying to walk. He doesn't do that. He just gets right into his chair. He gets right into his wheelchair. And he begins to do what he needs to do. He just pushes his little buttons and he goes to the kitchen and gets his coffee. And anywhere he goes all day long, he has a chair, a wheelchair he has to depend on. Christ is our wheelchair. Amen. And we shouldn't be surprised at the thoughts that enter our mind. We shouldn't be shocked that we have sinful thoughts. We're sinners. We're crippled. We're sin crippled. And it shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't discourage us. It shouldn't make us mad at ourselves. It shouldn't make us say, why do I always fail? It shouldn't make us say, today I'm going to do really well because I can. Shouldn't do any of that. We should just be saying, I need you, Jesus. I'm going to do whatever you say, Jesus, because there's my wheelchair. There's my power. There's my power button. Walking with him, depending on him. Now, he's not looking for robots. Because when we walk with him, we actually find our own self. That's the really good part. Who we're created to be, who we are in spirit. There's just been such a revelation to me that the sinful flesh we're trapped in is not who we really are. It's not who we really are. So we judge ourselves based on what I think, what I feel, how I failed, or how good I did. If we base who we think we are on that, we're in deception. In our spirit is the real us. And when we walk with Christ, he awakens the real us. And we find out who we really are, what we're created to do, and empowered. See, we were created to come in oneness with him. There's that electric cord again, you know? We're created to come into oneness with him. And until we do, we don't function as who we're meant to be. There's the joy. There's the peace. There's the pleasure. There's what will satisfy our life. Even if we're doing what we don't want to do, tub glaze all day long can be done in connection with Christ and become joyful. Or it can be a burdensome, hard duty where you hate your job. Or it can become what you're really good at and you feel good and you just brag on how good you are at what you do. But it won't be true pleasure until it's done from the Spirit. Done from walking with Christ, depending on him. So the point is, we want to realize. We want to realize there's a resurrected life for us if we depend fully on Christ. If we want to be raised up with Christ, if we want our body to be quickened with real life, we have to come into this full dependency with him. So I want to help us realize exactly what we are, that we are helpless, but not hopeless. Helpless, but not hopeless, because we have Christ. Helpless, though. And I went through some verses in Galatians, because as long as somebody thinks, oh, well, I'm doing better than I used to. I can do this. I mean, I've changed so much. I'm really doing good now. I'm very kind. I'm very loving. I'm very giving. You know, look what I did. Look what I can do. Let me tell you what I do. Aren't you glad you met me? You know, as long as we have those I thoughts, me, me, me. You know, I was thinking of that this morning when I was going through it. I was thinking of The Sound of Music, you know, and she's singing, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. I can't sing very high, so I'm not going any further. But a lot of us get stuck on that one note. Do, re, mi, 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 mi. Broken record, and it's a boring song, you know. But we can hit the high note if Christ brings us in the Spirit. In the Spirit, we can sing. That's a funny thing, because I really can't hit high notes. I have a very low voice. I was in church one time, and I was in the Spirit. Just, I could sense the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. I was hitting high notes that I cannot hit. It's amazing. I danced in the Spirit and done. There was one time in Toronto. I started dancing. Oh, my goodness. There was a point where I just felt like the Spirit took me and spun me in a circle. I mean, for a long time, I was spinning so fast that you would think I would get dizzy and fall. And when he quit, I wasn't even dizzy. And you do things you cannot do because you came into the Spirit realm and connected with Christ. Other than that, everything we do is dead works. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, that I could be resurrection, that resurrection life. Let my flesh be crippled, that I get in the chair of Christ and I get resurrected with him in Spirit. And everything that you do in the Spirit is powerful. It's powerful. Everything else is not. So, Galatians 5:19, let's look there for a minute. I want to look at the things we might think. You know, because most of us in this room, we've been saved for a while, and we have overcome a lot of things. God has delivered us from things. We're walking with him. Our hearts are for him. We're sincere. And sometimes that leads us into pride. And we think because we're behaving well, we're okay. But he looks at the heart. He looks at the mind. I just want us to know that we're crippled so that we can depend on him. So let's look at the works of the flesh, starting in verse 19, Galatians 5:19. Adultery. It is adultery, of course, to have an affair with someone other than your mate. It's an adultery to even think about someone other than your mate. It's adultery if you're unfaithful to them in your thought life. If you think about somebody you used to be with, if you think about somebody you'd like to be with, if you do that, it's unfaithful to your mate. But it also can be adultery against God. There should be nothing, no person, no thing, no activity, no possession of our life that we love more than God. He should have our total heart. If you're really wanting to go further with God, he needs your total heart. It's okay to have the things. It's not okay for things to have you. If there's something so precious to you that you couldn't let go of it, the first thing you want to do is let go of it. Go get rid of it. At least get rid of it in your mind and in your heart. Break that attachment. Fornication. Again, this is sexual impurity, but it's intimate impurity. If you take the sexual word off that, because in the flesh, it's sexual, but in the spirit realm, It's the intimacy. Impurity in your intimacy with God. Fornication indicates that you've gone and become intimate with someone else. With God, in your spirit realm, it means that that intimate, deepest love affair of your heart belongs to someone before God. I have seen it. I have seen people that are walking with God, say they're in love with God, everything is fine, until either their mate divorces them, their mate dies, and they're mad at God, and they back away from God. It only indicates that you were more in love with your mate than you were with God. Harvey and I made it clear when we got married, I think he said it first. He said, I just want you to know, as much as I love you, I will always love God more than you. And I said, well, that's good, because I will always love him more than you. And therefore, by loving him more, we'll love each other more. Because he is love, and he wants us to love one another. But he doesn't want us to love one another more than him. Because the minute you do, something of that person will pull you from your faithfulness to God. They want this, God wants that. Who gets their way? Your intimate, your most deep intimate. I've seen women that don't go to church because their husband won't go. Then you don't love God more than your husband. Well, I'm being obedient to him. And you should be obedient to your husband and your boss and your parents and all things, unless it goes against what God has for you. And he wants you to be in church. So, well, we've got out-of-town family here, and it would hurt their feeling. Ask God, is it okay for you to stay home today with your family? Maybe he'll say yes because of love. He might, because he breaks his own rules because of love sometimes. But if he says, I need you to be there today, then your loved one is just going to get their feelings hurt. And kindly, I'm really sorry. I'd love to be with you, but why don't you come with me? You won't come with me? Well, I'll be back as soon as I can. They learn that. They learn it. There was one occasion in the last year that Jamie, she had to have her son's open house on a Sunday, and she asked us if we'd come. And normally we won't miss church for anything. And we prayed and felt like we should go. I don't even know if we missed church or went after church. I don't even remember. But Jesus did some things on Sunday that the Pharisees said, you're breaking the rules. But he did it because of love, you know. But I've been saying the motivation of your heart has got to be given to God. Uncleanliness. This is not talking about physical cleanliness. Now, the Pharisees, they were against people that didn't wash their hands or wash their face or whatever. But we're talking about our mind and our heart. Uncleanliness. Now, this can refer to dirty movies, impure thoughts, listening to off-color joking and laughing at it. Just, this is an uncleanliness of something that can defile you. And I think there's a protection over us when we can't help it. You're working and they're all telling dirty jokes and you can't help but hear them. But when you intentionally join them, when you intentionally watch that kind of stuff, when you do it on purpose, you're taking it in. Then it's a choice. But this isn't to say, don't go do any of these things. It's to say, check your heart. Check your thoughts. Do these thoughts come in your mind? Do they come in your heart? They do. Sometimes they do. And I was watching a movie the other night, and they made a dirty joke, and it was funny. And I might have tried not to laugh, but the little smirk was there. I thought it was funny. This, we're proving that we're sinners. Yes, we have impure thoughts. We do. And admit it. But the minute we see that we do, take it to him and confess it. It's to prove, it's actually, I'm not trying to put you under guilt and burden. I'm trying to take you away from it. Because these things do happen in us. And if we try to tell ourselves, I should know better. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't think that and get mad at myself. I might as well give up. I'm never going to do it right. I'm always going to fail. You're a sinner. We're proving that you are a sinner. But the minute you recognize these things, we confess them and we say, Jesus, I'm so glad I can depend on you. I'm so glad you forgive me. I'm so glad you're good and pure and that one day I'll get out of this body and then I can live in total pureness with you.
I'm so glad you're my wheelchair and you'll carry me.
I'm glad you will carry me in spite of the fact I'm a sinner. And it doesn't mean, you know, Romans says, what, should we just go ahead and sin then because we're hopeless? No. We should hate the sin, but we need to keep recognizing we are sinners. You don't get up and hate yourself every day for being a cripple. Yes, I'm going to have sinful thoughts. Yes, I'm not even going to want to do what I should. Yes, I don't like my neighbor. Yes, whatever. Yeah, that's true. That's me. I'm a sinner, Jesus. I am helpless, but I'm not hopeless because I'm going to get in my wheelchair and I'm going to confess that I'm a sinner and you're going to cleanse me and you're going to keep me wrapped up in your presence every time I depend on you. Lasciviousness. This is a lustful type living. Some people think it means, you know, go out and have an orgy. No. Lasciviousness is just totally obsessed with self-pleasure. I don't like to do that. I want to do that. I want to go here. I want to play. I want to have fun. I can't serve God because I worked all week and I want to go to the amusement park on Saturday and I want to go to the beach and I want to go fun, 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 fun. I deserve it. I worked all week. That's the ways of this world. You can do those things with Jesus, but you can't do them instead of Jesus. He's not against you having fun. He's against you being obsessed with having fun instead of obsessed with holiness and goodness and love. Idolatry. We make things an idol whenever they get our time, our attention, and our money instead of God getting it. Anything could be an idol. Your TV can be an idol. Coffee can be an idol. Anything that you love and worship and spend yourself over can become an idol. Let's spend our life over Jesus. He could live through your business, or your business could take you away from him. It's, what's the motive? What do you live for? What do you worship? What do you idolize? What do you treasure and value? What is your life about? If it's about God, he might send you to the amusement park with a group of kids to witness to them. It's what you're worshiping, what you're living for. That's what defines your idol. I'm not going to spend this time on every word, but one word that I really wanted to mention is witchcraft. Witchcraft is growing. It's growing like crazy. And it's even tricking Christians. They're looking at things that they call, you know, they say it's not witchcraft. They don't see it as witchcraft. But that word engulfs many, many, many things. Because it engulfs magic. And think about the movies we love. Superheroes. Guys that can fly. Guys that have all kinds of power. It's magic. It includes things that we want to see immediate transformation of the poor Cinderella becoming the princess through her magical fairy godmother. But when we go and we get a taste for those things and we crave them, the devil is the one who'll come along and give it to you. I can't remember the specifics of what Jackson and I were talking about, but he was surprised because they weren't fortune tellers, but there was something to do with somebody knew everything about somebody else and they hadn't even known the person. And that's like fortune telling? Magic. How could they know all that? And I said, well, because demons hear things and they come in your thoughts and tell you things. A demon could go over there and read your mind and come tell me what he could go watch your life and know something and come tell me what he saw. I didn't mean read your mind. Take that part away. But he could go watch you. He could watch you meet a girl, call her by name. He could come and tell me what her name is. So people that are power hungry, they end up maybe accepting fortune telling and that type of thing, which is witchcraft. And then it is powerful. It's given them some power, but it's not the right kind of power. It's not the good power, even if they say it's a good witch. But that word also means medication, pharmacy. It means pharmacy. The word witchcraft in the Bible frequently refers to pharmacy. And that is when we trust in medicine as our first resolve rather than taking things to Jesus. It's saying, I don't think he could heal me, so I'm running to the doctor and get some more drugs. That includes the new medical marijuana because you're stressed out or whatever it is. It includes every form of medication that God doesn't tell you to take. Now, there's good doctors, there's bad doctors, there's good meds, bad meds, but even good meds, if God doesn't tell you to take it, it's not his solution. But people trust so much in the medication People are a little hyper. They want to go out and get on medication. People are depressed. They get on long-term antidepressant medication. And then it leads them into addictions, and it leads them into when the hour that wears off, they flip out worse than ever. I've seen a young boy run into the road trying to get hit by a car and kill himself at the end of his Ritalin wearing off at the end of the day. And tearing down walls and just flipping out. There are very, very dangerous medications that open up the realm to the demonic. So when it comes to our health, we have to go first to Jesus. It's the wheelchair. God, I don't even know what I should or shouldn't do. Take this vaccination, take that pill. Are you going to heal me? Do you want me to just wait? We need to go to Christ for everything, dependent on everything. And sometimes he says, have the surgery, take the medicine. Sometimes he says, just wait. But it needs to be a walk of faith. The Pharisees did not gain righteousness by keeping the Bible rules. How could we gain health by keeping a doctor's rules? Does God want us to keep Bible rules? Absolutely, by faith. Does he ever want us to take medicine or use a doctor? Absolutely, by faith. And faith is hearing what Jesus wants and doing what he says. Faith is a dependency upon Christ. It's listening to him, walking with him, and doing what he says. There are some definites in the Bible where he says, if you pay your tithe, God will bless you. Just do it. You don't need to ask him every Sunday, do you want me to pay my tithe? There's a Bible rule, and we're keeping it. But walking by faith and realizing without the voice of Christ, I really don't know. I really don't know. Should I do this or not do this? One day he may say yes, and tomorrow he may say no. So we really need to be walking with him, depending upon him.
If you go back to that word that you talked about, fornication, you talked about intimacy.
Yeah.
Who are we intimate with?
Who are we intimate with?
And if we're intimate with him, that's an ongoing relationship.
Yep.
And it's asking him for peace. Make it clear to me. You know, it's not like you're necessarily going to hear him say something.
Exactly.
But he'll make it clear by giving you peace or taking away your peace.
Yeah. You know, we go on some of these, we know. Hatred, feeling hate, it's another indication. You can't control hate in your heart. If you hate somebody, you hate them. But as you depend on Christ, he'll change your heart. He'll give you his heart. He'll share his love. You can love your enemy. I just described this because it's a word we don't use. Variance. Variance means quarreling, debating, wrangling, strife. You know, I hate that. I think one of my giftings in God is extreme peace. So I really hate strife. Arguing and strife. Do I do it? Yeah, I do. We did it yesterday, didn't we? Oh my gosh, it's like everything that came up felt like an argument. And I'm saying to God, why does he want to argue about everything? And you know what he said to God? Why does she want to argue about everything? Neither one of us wanted to argue, and we still argued. And it was like we tried to make it simpler, and it would just get more complicated. And it was like, oh my gosh, we just need to shut up. You know, just shut up and let it all go. And it was over dumb stuff, too. It really was. It was over the most non-important, stupid things. It's just the devil. Just the devil. Just sin. Just our sin nature, because we're crippled sinners. Fortunately, we both loved each other and let it all go and realized, this is ridiculous. But I hate strife, and I still get caught in it. You can hate the sin you do and still get hooked and caught by it and hate it. It's a good sign that you hate it. But we cannot avoid being a sinner. Wrath, strife, seditions causing divisions. Heresies, which is a disunion with the true doctrine of the faith, departing from what is right and true. I see good Christians get deceived. I see them get deceived one step at a time until they're believing things you can't... How could they believe that? They knew better. Because as they don't walk in unity and dependence on Christ, they have no protection from deception. None. Deception is powerful.
Yep.
I've been out there and been deceived and couldn't believe later. I was like, how possibly could I believe what I knew I would never believe? Deception is powerful. We are just we little weaklings, you know? We really are. Revelings, drunkenness, murders, envy. And it ends by saying, at the end of 21, I think, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in the time past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people take that and say, wow, I do those things. Even if I don't do them, I think them, I feel them, I guess I don't inherit the kingdom of God. That little word do is a really important word because it's interpreted as someone who chooses to continue to do. Somebody who makes a choice to keep what they're doing and not repent of it. So it says, any of these things we've mentioned, if you're justifying it and saying, this is how I want to live, I don't see anything wrong with it, this is what I choose to do, this is what I choose for my life, then you are continuing in it, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's two kingdoms, even right here on earth. There is his kingdom and there's the kingdom of this world. And if you say, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but I want to and I'm just going to go that way, then you're choosing your kingdom. And when you choose that kingdom, you walk away from God into that deception and things get worse and worse and worse. Do you know a Christian that chooses to leave God? It says, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It will get worse and worse. You'll do things you never did before you met God. You'll do things you'd be so ashamed of later when you get your right sense back. But it's talking about a continual doing. We all could be guilty of any of this, all of it in one day. But the minute we see it, we go, oh, God, there it is. There's my crippled thinking again. There's my crippled doing again. There's my mouth again. There's my feelings again. There's my sin again. And I hate it. I hate it. And I can't help it. But I'm coming back and telling you, I don't like it. I'm sorry. I need to get back in depending on you, walking with you. Because I can do all things through Christ, who is my wheelchair, who strengtheneth me. Right? You can roll with Christ with your power buttons. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. We need to just rest in him. He's the one who's good. We're the one being rescued. Just rest in Christ. We're entering a time, ministers, our message is going to be repentance. I thought about this the other day. When we were younger, we went to a church that it called you out on everything. You shouldn't wear mini skirts. You shouldn't smoke cigarettes. You shouldn't drink beer. You shouldn't be a homosexual. You shouldn't. They called you out on precise sins. That's not the message we're going to carry. That's not our message of repentance. Our message of repentance, when Jesus talked about these things, what was he talking about? Conditions of how you think, of how you feel, of what you choose over him. It's all about choosing God. Repentance from the ways of this world, lust, selfishness, pride, hate. Name those inner things. We used to have a picture of a heart. And inside this heart is what you are, sick sinner. You know, you're a sin, sick sinner, a crippled. What's inside the heart is fear and hate and lust and pride, selfishness. That's the heart of sin. Out here is what you do. And what you do isn't the problem. What you are is the problem. When we realize, God, I am selfish, I am proud, I don't always love. When we realize we have a faulty heart, we can take that to God and say, I need your heart. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need your heart. I need to depend on your love I need to depend on who you are, because you are good and I am not. There is none good but God. Because when we do that, he blends his heart into ours and we begin to think and feel like him. And then we can let his goodness flow out of our life. Because in unity, he awakens our spirit to become one. And then we can feel love. We can feel the goodness as we walk with him. We don't need to stand up and tell people, you need to stop smoking and drinking. No. We need to stand up and tell them, you need to choose God. You need to choose goodness and God and love and mercy. Well, what if I'm a homosexual? Are you telling me I'm wrong? I don't need to tell you anything that you do or are is wrong. What I need to tell you is choose God. Give your life to Father God. Get into his Bible. Get into his word. Let his spirit speak to you. Fall in love with him. Give him your life. Choose that realm, that kingdom. Choose God. And then put all your faith in Jesus Christ paying for your sin. You're saying I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. Because I'm a homosexual? No. Because I'm a drunk? No. Maybe you're a drunk because you're a sinner, but you're not a sinner because you're a drunk. You got it backwards. You're a drunk because of something wrong in your heart. See, we don't need to preach the issues. We need to preach to the hearts.
Right.
Choosing God. So when we're getting ready to start preaching repentance, don't go out and get in that hassle with people. Are you telling me God doesn't want me because I'm divorced? God wants you. Are you telling me it's okay I'm divorced? No. Are you telling me it's not okay? No. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying God wants you. God loves you. God will forgive your sin. What's my sin? Ask him. Ask God, what's your sin? Well, I bet you think it doesn't matter what I think. Well, what does the Bible say? You really want to know? Read it. You're really after my opinion again. You're after my opinion again. What do I think the Bible says is what you want to know. If you want to know what the Bible says, get one and start reading. And tell God, I believe this is your word. Will you speak to me through it? And he will. He'll prove his word is alive. If you really want to know. And if you don't really want to know, I don't want to argue with you anyway. It doesn't matter what I think or believe. So we really need to get that down. If we want to bring people to Christ, we don't condone what they're doing. We don't condemn what they're doing. We go for the heart.
Right.
We go for the heart. Go for the heart. Galatians 5 goes beyond what we read about all the evidence that we are a sinner. It goes on to the fruits of the Spirit of who God is. This is what we're saying. Do you want pride and lust and arguing and hate? Or do you want the fruits of the Spirit, which is love? A love beyond any love you could know in the realm of humanity. A sacrificial, enduring, merciful love. Joy, peace. I don't know many people that really have joy or peace. You know, you walk through the grocery store and look at the faces, people are miserable. And if you smile, they want to know why. Why are you smiling?
What do you want?
Jackson went to public school determined to love everybody. He gets on the bus and every day with a big grin, they got mad at him for it. What are you happy about? You're fake. Nobody's that happy. They ridiculed him for being happy. Because they couldn't believe anybody could be that happy. I used to ridicule Leave It the Beaver. I mean, that is the stupidest show. There's no family that's like that. That's not what real families are like. You know, cussing and swearing and telling you're no good. That's reality, you know. No, that's not God's reality. Peace, long-suffering, patience. Oh, my goodness. Gentleness and goodness and faith. Meekness. Temperance. That's self-control. Balance. Against such, there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. How? If we're just hopeless sinners, how? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit by riding in your wheelchair, depending on Christ. our spirit blends with his, all of a sudden we feel love, peace, and joy. That's how the flesh gets crucified, only by walking with Christ. Jesus, help us remember this, because the minute we think that we're any good, we move into pride and away from you. The minute we think we're so terrible and failure, we can't do anything right, we move away from you. Lord, the perfect place is just resting in you, letting our real self emerge and blend with you, walking in your love, your goodness, your peace and joy. That's where we want to live. Not in pride, not in failure, not in shame and guilt, not in hopelessness, but in you. Help us to realize these truths, Lord, and just continually rest ourselves back into your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for being our wheelchair. Amen.